I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Israeli Defense Forces struck Houthi military targets on Sunday in the Yemeni capital of Sana'a. The sites included a military compound where the presidential palace is located, two power plants, and a fuel depot. Yemeni sources say six people were killed.
Whoever attacks us, we attack them. Whoever plans to attack us, we attack them. I think the entire region is learning Israel's might and determination.
The strike came in response to a Houthi-launched ballistic missile on Friday that had a cluster bomb warhead, which carries multiple smaller bomblets that scatter over a wider area, making it harder to defend against and more dangerous to civilians.
We continue to impose an air and naval blockade and are striking infrastructure targets that are used to promote Houthi terrorism. For every missile they launch at Israel, the Houthi will pay with interest.
Earlier, Katz said that the gates of hell will soon open over Hamas murderers and rapists in Gaza until they agree to Israel's conditions for ending the war, primarily the release of all hostages and their disarmament.
And I don't see that happening anytime soon, so which means the IDF will have to go in and find every last coward there is of the Hamas unit and wipe them out. And unfortunately, in the process of trying to get to some of them, they ended up killing five journalists and some citizens in an attack upon a Gaza hospital. They did not want to hit the hospital. They didn't want to hit patients. They didn't want to hit and kill journalists. They wanted to go after the Hamas terrorists, who the cowards they are, were hiding inside the hospital and under the hospital. This is what cowards do. And unfortunately, it means innocent lives are lost in the process. So the president has the South Korean leader meeting with him earlier today at the White House. And according to what came out of that from the beginning, South Korean President Lee asked the U.S. to work on establishing peace on the Korean Peninsula.
President Trump at the White House today.
He said, I want to know that you are the first president to have so much interest in the world's peace issues and actually make achievements. So I hope you would make peace with the Korean Peninsula, which remains the only separated country in the world, and meet with North Korean leaders Kim Jong-un. In fact, Lee suggested that a Trump Tower should be built in North Korea, so I can go play golf in that area, laughingly. The South Korean president said the peninsula was stable during Trump's administration. But during the short time you were out, listen up, Biden folks, he told the president, during the short term you were out, North Korea developed its nuclear and missile capabilities to a higher level, and we need to reestablish that. In the meantime, there's fear that South Korea might be pivoting towards China. We'll explain that in a few moments. First of all, welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. Here we are for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And let me remind you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything later goes up as a podcast for you at LarryConnorsUSA.com, audio and video, News Talk STL podcast, or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And we're available on other outlets as well. You simply search Larry Connors USA and you'll find us. We're there, branded everywhere as Larry Connors USA. And with this program, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. Once again, let me remind you, You will know more at the end of this hour than you do right now. Not because I'm so smart, but I search a lot of different materials to bring to you, to put in front of you for your consumption. Because I want this audience to know everything I can possibly put in front of you. And I have to admit, I have regrets sometimes after a program that I didn't get a chance to get that in, And I'll say, well, I'll try to do it tomorrow. And the next day, I probably won't get it in, and something else will also fall to the floor. I had to be here 24/7, 365. And I would probably have things I don't get a chance to get to. And there's the other issue, keep in mind. When you're listening live, you're hearing only what you're hearing at that point. When you go to one of our podcasts, if you had to bail out early for family obligations, I certainly understand, even if it means job obligations, which in turn support family, I fully understand. That's why we make the podcast available, so you can go back and pick up something else and hear what else was said about a particular subject or something that you were sure we would discuss, but you didn't hear it. And I will admit, there might be times I still fail. I'm carrying as much as I can to you, and I appreciate your support. I mentioned a moment ago, there is a concern that South Korea is maybe pivoting closer to China. Now, that concern is being expressed by a Chinese expert. We often have him on board, Gordon Chang.
I think that Yi Jae-myung is not going to want to talk about China. You know, China, South Korea actually had its envoys in Beijing yesterday meeting with Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. They were delivering a letter for Xi Jinping saying how South Korea wanted to move closer to China. And the implication, of course, is that it wants to move away from the United States. Now, that is typical leftist foreign policy, Yi being a leftist himself. And then I think that people in Washington sort of view Yi's behavior with sort of amusement in the sense that they think that they can outlast Yi as we have outlasted three previous leftist South Korean presidents. But that very well may be a mistake because Yi is much more relentless and much more determined than his leftist predecessors. And we now have a China which is more aggressive. So we could have real problems in South Korea right now, even though we have a military alliance with South Korea, and it has been a foundation of North Asia security for seven decades.
And let me give you additional background on that. From the Federalist, Sean Fleetwood penned an article titled, East Asia's Political Turmoil Could Hamper Trump's Bid to Counter Red China, pointing out the Trump administration to get our East Asian partners to increase defense spending might be more difficult than anticipated. Trump's been trying to do that since he got in office and doing what they can. In an August 15 tweet, one high-ranking Pentagon official noted, it's common sense that all allies, especially in Asia, need to pull their weight. And then the point was, that's how we get peace through strength and sustainable collective defense. Fortunately, many of our allies, led by Europe, get it. Their route to sustain peace is doing their part. But then he went on to talk about what happened with Chairman Xi since he took the reins in Chinese politics more than a decade ago. They have made significant investments in the People's Liberation Army and increasingly aggressive maneuvers toward U.S. assets and partners. For instance, in Taiwan, the president's administration recently proposed increasing the island defense by 23% next year. That would raise its financial overall defense spending to more than 3.3% GDP. That would be good, but others are not looking to be that aggressive. And if South Korean President Lee thinks I can get more out of China than I get out of U.S., he'll be playing them against each other. That's very understandable. And we're still trying to get through our trade agreements. Once again, Gordon Chang.
I don't think that anybody in Beijing is willing to make a significant decision on anything, which includes the trade deal. The last couple of days, the rumors in Beijing about personnel changes have gone to a crescendo. So we don't know where this is going. We'll get a hint on September 3, the big military parade, because we'll see who's on the reviewing stand at the Gate of Heavenly Peace. I think Xi Jinping will still be front and center. But I think that's because the party has yet to decide who's going to replace him. This is really consequential, perhaps the most important story in the world.
Wow. To have those words spoken by Gordon Chang, that's heavy. This is a consequential event, and who's going to end up leading China, that she is getting ready to be either pushed aside, led off into a room and never come back, or under what conditions would it happen? I was trying to get Gordon lined up for our program today, but he had other obligations. If you watch any network news operation and they're looking for a China expert, you're going to find the guy we use on a regular basis, Gordon G. Chang. And I encourage you to follow him on his Twitter account, at Gordon G. Chang. That'll be keeping you up to date on a lot of things. President Trump is preparing to activate more National Guard in blue cities and states and elsewhere. One is to bring peace to areas where they need it, safety to the citizens, and also to help round up more illegals.
And tonight, 1,700 National Guard troops are now set to mobilize across 19 states over the coming weeks. They are going to help Homeland Security execute a sweeping federal crime and immigration crackdown that is underway now. The order is effective August through mid-November, Fox News is learning. And a U.S. defense official tells Liz Fryden the National Guard being mobilized will effectively serve as a support pillar.
Now, that's the intent that Trump wants to have. And yes, Secretary of Defense Hegseth said the other day, I want those National Guard troops to carry their weapons. And immediately you saw the left get, oh my God, they're going to be out there with weapons. The police on the streets have weapons. The National Guard are authorized to use weapons. They've been trained in them. But again, we're looking at some 1,700 additional National Guardsmen to be pushed into several states. These are not all blue cities and blue states, but they do have illegals in there they're trying to round up. Let me give you a rundown here. As they exist right now, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, Ohio, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas even, Utah, Virginia, and Wyoming. They're going to carry these on until maybe mid-November. And again, as you heard, they're going to be helping as a support pillar. They'll help with case management, transportation, logistics, data collection, fingerprinting. Violent crime in D.C., since Trump put those troops on the ground, is down 22%. You want to think that's just a coincidence? You want to think it's just by chance there's not been a single murder in D.C. since he did that 11 days ago? That doesn't mean there won't be one tonight. But it has definitely frightened the criminals back into their rat holes. And yet you've got the leftists coming forward, such as the Maryland governor, who wants you to believe this cannot continue. Governor Wes Moore.
Why, though, are you so opposed to this deployment?
Well, there's plenty of reasons. One, it is not sustainable. You cannot continue this type of pace of operations, particularly when it's costing over $1 million a day in order to do this. The second, it's not scalable. You're not going to be able to do this in every single major American city, particularly when many of the cities that have the highest crime rates are the places that have actually deployed their National Guards to Washington, D.C. So who's going to go do the work in their cities? In 2022, Baltimore was averaging almost a homicide a day. And I came in and I said, I refuse to be a governor who just offers thoughts and prayers to this situation. So we said, we're actually going to work in partnership with Mayor Scott, work in partnership with local elected officials, mm-hmm. work in partnership with local law enforcement. We made the largest investments in local law enforcement in our state's history, over $50 million going to Baltimore City alone.
That was then, and if it's still holding now, good, good for you. But that was at the same time many of your blue cities, governors, mayors, were calling defund, cashless bail, which Trump tried today by an executive order, put an end to. It'll be challenged. The Governor Moore of Maryland went on to point out, when he's talking about sustainability, said, who's going to work in their cities if they're in some other city like D.C.? What if they need help in their city? You call up more National Guardsmen, Governor. That's what you do. And he said, it's also unconstitutional, a direct violation of the 10th Amendment. No, it's not. And he said, the fourth reason, it's deeply disrespectful to the members of the National Guard. As someone who actually deployed overseas, served my country in combat, to ask these men and women to do a job they're not trained for is deeply disrespectful. If they're not training the National Guard troops to be ready to do something like that and be ready, and not just in case of a natural or man-made disaster, then they need better training. But the governor is just saying, I will not authorize our Maryland National Guard for this. You might not have any authority. President Trump is commander-in-chief. He may decide. All right, coming up, the story of former Trump staffer John Bolton. The raid upon his house the other day. What were they trying to find? What sparked this? Is there anything that's going to happen yet to come? We've got a lot to cover before we wrap up this hour. Class is not out. Don't go far. And of course, always remember, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving, 314-241-0600, 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate, meguiarmoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
John Bolton has not been arrested or charged with any crimes, but this is the first step in what could be a long investigation. FBI agents spent hours searching for evidence at his home and D.C. office Friday. And in an interview with NBC, the vice president confirmed they were looking for potential classified documents.
What's at the root of this? Is this about classified documents?
Well, again, I'll let the FBI speak to that. Classified documents are certainly part of it, but I think that there's a broad concern about Ambassador Bolton. They're going to look into it. And like I said, if there's no crime here, we're not going to prosecute it. If there is a crime here, of course, Ambassador Bolton will get his day in court.
Bolton was fired as Trump's national security advisor during his first term and became an outspoken critic. The president says he didn't know about the raid ahead of time, but can relate.
Yes, his house was raided today, but my house was raided also, called Mar-a-Lago. They went through everything they could, including my young son's room and my wife's area. So, you know, so I know the feeling. It's not a good feeling.
No, not likely. And especially when you think they're there on a political hatchet job. There's a piece in The Federalist today written by Brianna Lineman. We often have her on as a guest. The headline itself applies directly to what you just heard. Never Trumpers who cheered the Mar-a-Lago raid melt down at the search of John Bolton's house. How dare you? How dare you go after John Bolton? Why don't you just go and say, look, we'd like to come through and gather material. Well, that's exactly what they did do when it came to Joe Biden looking for any classified information. They did not raid either of his homes, nor his garage, where he had boxes of classified documents sitting on the floor next to his Corvette. But when it came to Trump, they went in a SWAT-like early morning raid. So those folks who love to see that happen to Trump are incensed that the same thing is done to Bolton. And they want to cry out, this is punishment. This is revenge. They can call it that. But if they're doing the same thing that was done to Trump, was it fair for Trump? Was it fair for Bolton? Neither. The Homeland Security Advisor to Vice President Pence said that the search on Bolton is an example of authoritarianism, adding that when Kash Patel turns the FBI into Trump's revenge squad, that's not justice, it's authoritarianism. Today it's John Bolton, tomorrow it could be any critic who dares defy Trump. The Bureau's credibility is being gutted from within. This intimidation, not law enforcement, every American should be alarmed. But he never said a word one like that after the FBI agents carried out their raid at Mar-a-Lago. Former NBC host Chuck Todd, the senators who were bullied into confirming Kash Patel, how are you feeling today? It's not like you weren't worried, or rather warned, this guy would be comfortable politicizing the agency. Trump couldn't have done this without the weak Senate GOP enabling. And Todd is, of course, the same one who, after the raid of Mar-a-Lago and those running around supporting Trump, saying they were undercutting faith and institutions. It was okay for the FBI to do whatever it wanted to during the Biden years. We're talking about accountability here. You want to call it revenge? Fine. But it's accountability. And they've set the precedent for how it should be carried out. And John Bolton had been warned by a close colleague of his, Fred Flights. We've often had Fred on the air with us. He couldn't, actually chose not to come on the air today. He said, I've already said my piece about John. I don't really want to throw anything on top of that. But he was a close supporter of John Bolton, even at one time saying, I think he'd be great to be our Secretary of State. But when he learned that Bolton was going to publish this book, he said, given the importance of protecting a president's confidential discussions with senior advisors, I strongly disagree with Bolton's decision to release the book right before the presidential November election. And I call on him to withdraw it from the publisher immediately. That was just before the election in 2020. Bolton's book, titled The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir, supposedly did contain explosive claims that Trump, including an allegation of tying the holdup of aid to Ukraine, was demanding investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden, or Ukraine would get nothing going forward. Bolton alleged that Trump said that $391 million in security aid to Ukraine, not going to get it unless you guys go investigate Biden. Trump has, of course, denied it. A former career official at the National Security Council claims her pre-publication review of former National Security Advisor's John Bolton's book was, quote, commandeered by political appointees for a political purpose. In other words, they went to go get it to keep it from being published. He said, she said. I don't know where the truth is. All I know is that if Fred Flight said Bolton should have held off on doing that book at that point, he would have been wise to listen to Fred. But apparently, he's not one to listen. In the meantime, this redistricting issue. Again, keep in mind the point of redistricting in Texas, which they've got clearance to move ahead for, is because California was counting illegals in their census so they could get more seats. They've been doing that. Newsom continues to say we're going to redistrict again if Texas gets them. And you got Congressman Jeffries saying gerrymandering will give GOP an artificial victory next year. Vice President Vance on the real issue.
Do you have to ask yourself, why have Democrats gerrymandered their states aggressively over the past 10 to 20 years? If you look, for example, at the popular vote in a lot of these states, and Massachusetts, where 32% of the residents of Massachusetts voted for Republicans, zero Republican federal representatives. So we're not trying to sort of, all we're doing, frankly, is trying to make the situation a little bit more fair on a national scale. The Democrats have gerrymandered their states really aggressively. We think there are opportunities to push back against that, and that's really all we're doing.
All we're doing is trying to make sure we have a fair election. That's not what they were doing. I want to start that again, Jerome. I want us to hear Jeffries again. I mean, not Jeffries, but Vance pointing out one state that has no Republicans in any congressional district. They have no one to represent Republicans in Congress, and yet how the vote went down in that state?
So you have to ask yourself, why have Democrats gerrymandered their states aggressively over the past 10 to 20 years? If you look, for example, at the popular vote in a lot of these states, and Massachusetts, where 32% of the residents of Massachusetts voted for Republicans, zero Republican federal representatives. So we're not trying to...
There we go. 32% of the residents in Massachusetts voted Republican, and they can't get one congressional district drawn where they would be able to hold sway and maybe get a representative for them. That's gerrymandering. They do it in Illinois. They do it in California. They do it in any blue state that they can get away with. And then comes Obama out the other day saying what Texas is doing is wrong. What California is doing is right to make things correct. That we really shouldn't have to have gerrymandering. We should just have an equal election. But if they're going to do it, we're going to. Well, you guys start it. Kids. Who started this? Maybe the bigger question of who's going to end it. I know the left is glad to hear that Chip Roy is leaving the Freedom Caucus in Congress. That'll be one less. Hopefully we'll get another very strong conservative in place. But he's going to run for the Texas Attorney General's race. And he has the endorsement of Senator Ted Cruz. So he will probably become the next Texas Attorney General, which means there will be a vacancy in the House, a Republican vacancy, and more are thinking about running for higher office. We cannot lose our grip on the House. Midterms are going to be very crucial. Coming up, the latest effort to go after Hamas.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545. 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct, priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15% right now. Get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more five-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service.
He
You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times. You can call me, baby. Can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Israeli Defense Forces struck Houthi military targets on Sunday in the Yemeni capital of Sana'a. The sites included a military compound where the presidential palace is located, two power plants, and a fuel depot. Yemeni sources say six people were killed.
Whoever attacks us, we attack them. Whoever plans to attack us, we attack them. I think the entire region is learning Israel's might and determination.
The strike came in response to a Houthi-launched ballistic missile on Friday that had a cluster bomb warhead, which carries multiple smaller bomblets that scatter over a wider area, making it harder to defend against and more dangerous to civilians.
We continue to impose an air and naval blockade and are striking infrastructure targets that are used to promote Houthi terrorism. For every missile they launch at Israel, the Houthi will pay with interest.
Earlier, Katz said that the gates of hell will soon open over Hamas murderers and rapists in Gaza until they agree to Israel's conditions for ending the war, primarily the release of all hostages and their disarmament.
And that should happen immediately for Hamas members who want to stay alive. But they'd rather go out as a martyr and take civilians with them. And IDF soldiers if they get the chance. And other Muslims. If they're not Hamas members, they're just Palestinian, they're in the midst of some of this area, they don't care. They don't care. They hide in the hospitals, they hide wherever they can. Now this attack with the Israelis going back against the Houthi regime in Yemen, as you were hearing, happened after a cluster weapon got fired at Israel for the first time. The official statement from the IDF, a short while ago, the IDF struck military infrastructure of the Houthi terrorist regime, including a military site in which the presidency palace is located, plus two power plants, a site for storing fuel. All were being used for military activity of the Houthi terrorist regime. And these are conducted in response to repeated attacks by the Houthi terrorist regime. They're putting their own people at risk in Yemen as they are in Gaza. And if anyone inside those areas really wants to get out, they're not going to let them out. They're going to keep them there, and they're going to do what they can to destroy them one way or the other. And, of course, starvation is a big issue. Israel has tried to get aid with the help of the World Health Organization to those in Gaza. But the Hamas terrorist will seize the food before any hostages or their own citizens get a chance to get any. They may get some. The executive director of the United Nations Children's Fund said trying to debate the extent of hunger in Gaza is, and I'm quoting him, kind of obscene. kind of obscene. He said, to me, it is kind of obscene that we're hearing these conversations arguing about whether the methodology works or not. We know children are dying, right? I'm tired of a discussion about, well, are we giving the right information or not? And again, he said, we know children are dying. The Integrated Food Security Classification, IPC, declared last week there is, surprise, famine in Gaza. Did that have to be stated? Was that already known? Then he adds, the time for debate and hesitation has passed. Starvation is present, rapidly spreading. Have you ever been hungry? I mean, truly hungry. Not just you want a snack of something special, but you really had no food. You're in a place where you can't get any. Maybe there's no one around to help you get food, or you can't get a job to get it. I mean, there are people starving in this nation, and that is a shame. No one should be starving in this nation, nor anyone denied proper medical care, and especially children. I'm not trying to talk about socializing everything. I'm just saying we should be doing what we can as a people, not a government, but as a people to make sure no one goes hungry. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating because this interview they had over the weekend talking about the starvation in Gaza, there is footage of emaciated children, children that you can almost literally see their bones. The skin is so translucent and has nothing around it. And he said, I've spoken to our staff and they're seeing children who are incredibly deprived. Thousands of children have had amputations, and that's just another issue for these children. The story I wanted to relate to you involves a couple I know that was going to serve as foster parents for kids as they're being taken from the custody of parents for one reason or another. Maybe the parents are going to jail. They have no relatives, or they do, but it's going to take a while for them to set up and be able to accommodate the children. So they're moved into, quote, foster homes. Not meant to be the rest of their life there. It's meant to be a holding place, basically. But that the children will be fed, bathed, and have a safe place to sleep. This couple tells me that when they first started doing that, they would fix spaghetti and meatballs for the kids because they might have five or six kids, and it's just a simple, easy dish, and kids love it. But one night, after doing this for years with different kids, the father went in to check one of the younger children they had just taken into the home. And it looked like he was bleeding on the bed. Well, that alarmed the man, and he went to wake the child and get the lights on and find out the child had taken spaghetti and meatballs and shoved them into his pajama pants. He didn't know when he was going to be able to eat again. That's the kind of life that child had become accustomed to. If you got it, you eat it and then save what you can. He was assured, no, tomorrow you will still get more food. Think about a child going through something like that with that mindset. It's troubling. Heartbreaking. But unfortunately true. We're turning our attention to New York City and the mayoral race. The words coming currently from Andrew Cuomo's lips, The words passing his lips, they're not AI generated, and I don't think he's been abducted by an alien and replaced by an avatar. You decide.
There has been this internal debate going on in the Democratic Party where you have the extreme left, which are, they are socialists. Let's call it what it is, you know, democratic socialist. No, they are socialists. It's Bernie Sanders, it's AOC, it's Assemblyman Mamdani. And classic socialists, government should control the means of production, government should be providing commodities, and as you said, free transportation, free food, free childcare, etc., and income redistribution by taxing the rich and taxing the corporations. It's antithetical to New York City to be anti-corporate. As you pointed out, New York City corporations are already high taxed, as are the individuals. And I think it would be a death knell for New York City. And he is dangerous, frankly, for New York City.
He is talking about Zohan Mamdani, the one who's currently leading the race to be the next New York City mayor by 25, 30 plus points. And here you have Cuomo talking like a conservative that we can't do this. The city can't sustain it. We're going to lose more money. He ran the state. He knows exactly the situation the state itself is in and the city of New York. And he realizes that Mamdani is a socialist, obviously, is a Marxist. He's offering and promising anything and everything to be elected. Same thing Cuomo did, but he didn't think of this one. Oh, rats. That was an opportunity wasted. I could have come up with that idea. But you would not be calling yourself a socialist, would you? You'd be saying, I'm doing it for the better good of New York City. These folks in New York, if they go through with this, if they make him Mamdani their next mayor, this is going to be a case study and a lot of history to be learned as to what you do when you suddenly stand in the middle of a railroad track and the train is coming and you don't budge. Mamdani won't be hurt. His family has a large estate in Uganda. They're very rich. In fact, he'd gone there for his wedding with his wife. Now, Uganda is one place for Mamdani to be there on the family estate. It might not be such a good place for illegals in our country, but we're preparing to send some to Uganda because they said they will take them. Now, they might turn around and use them for slave labor. I don't know. All I know is they came into our country illegally. They are often gang members already convicted of numerous crimes before they got here and after they got here, and they've been allowed to roam our streets, and we're bringing an end to it. But do not forget, Senator Chris Van Hollen, Democrat of Maryland, he wants to have another meeting with the MS-13 gang member, Abrego Garcia from El Salvador. He said, I'm going to continue to fight for justice and due process. A MS-13 gang member never thinks of anything like, of any word like that when they're assaulting, killing, raping. They don't think of it. And you've got this gang member, got all prettied up, washed and clean, trying to cover some of the ink of his tattoos, and people fawning over him. I mean, they almost kiss his feet. If he could, he'd use a rifle, an assault rifle on you and say, you will kiss my feet. But he doesn't need to. These people are just doing it anyway. He's a poor brown man from El Salvador. His own nation does not want to take him back. That's what they think of him. They don't want him. So he's been held in detention, freed on bail again, but once again, being closely watched, he's a flight risk. He may try to get out of the country. Well, we have a place for him. We could either send him to Alligator Alcatraz, or we could transport him to Uganda. It said it will be glad to take our illegals in this nation. I know that they don't plan good things for these illegals. And I'm sure many of these illegals don't throw me in the briar patch. In this case, Uganda. We have Democrats going in marches and doing demonstrations and putting up flags and banners and slogans and posters. Keep him here in the USA. But not one of them, not one of them has gone to a judge and said, sign him over to me. He could stay at my house. I'll be responsible for him going forward. His own wife had filed abuse charges against him, feared for her life and her children. But then later saw the celebrity around it, she backed off. And maybe also because of a threat. All right, class, what did you learn this hour? You didn't know when we began the first hour. A lot. Miss some? Pull up the podcast. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.